Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Man, we're going to have a lot of fun tonight in Vancouver, all my real fans.
Hey, Vancouver, what is up? This is Sipping on a 40. I said Vancouver. You could be anywhere in the world to be a Canucks fan. Somehow that has happened through 50 years of no championships. Whatever. Welcome to Sipping on a 40. My name's Kyle Bound. Shout out to SB Nation. And shout out to Nux Misconduct. Speaking of Nux Misconduct, go get the network. All right. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you get three hockey shows with one swipe, one tap. I do not know how you do it. Just do it. Get the network. Tonight, your Canucks, they beat the Blues. It was a tough game. I just said they beat the Blues. They beat the champions, man. They beat the champions. Holy. And I'm looking at the little game sheet over here after the game. Am I seeing this correct? Yo, stop the fucking music, dude. Stop the music. How is Josh Levo the game's first star? Yes, I know he scored the shootout winner. How is that possible? Are you serious? You know, this is a story. Keep the music low, okay? This is a story for you. When I was in sports broadcasting school for that semester or whatever, you know, they taught me how to write game summaries without going to the actual game, without watching the game. And I feel like that's what happened here. You know, whoever came up with the three stars tonight, they weren't even at the game, you know? They called in sick, something happened, that role was missing, and they had to get it done. And the dude or gal who did it, they just looked at the damn game sheet, looked at who scored the shootout winner, looked at if anyone, you know, got a shutout or got two goals. And we're like, fuck it, we don't see anything special here. Let's just give it to Levo. Incredible. Levo, really? You're going to do that to Demko? All right, man, let's just get back to regular pro. Are you serious? Josh Levo? Do better, NHL. Do better, Sportsnet. Josh Levo, first star. Come on. Demko, let's talk about him. You know, I know that in the first two periods, he led in three goals. He also looked a little bit shaky with the rebound control. But overall, another impressive game for Demko. Real talk. Thatcher, he played solid. You want your goaltender to give you that chance to win, to keep you in the game when your team's not playing good. And the guys in front of them, there were spurts in that game where they were getting dominated, where they looked like boys compared to champions. Real talk, they did. Thatcher didn't let it get to four. He got them the point and looked solid in the shootout. Demko needs to be good on this stretch. I said it before. I don't think Travis Green is set in stone with his little game plan of possibly giving, if he has a game plan, of possibly giving Demko 20-plus guaranteed starts. 25 starts, whatever the analytics tell you. He's going with the hot hand. And for the better part of a year, Jacob Markstrom has been really, really good. This is Travis Green's third year on the job. He seems to have a lot of pride. He's going with the hot hand, and if Demko isn't good here, I'm seeing Markstrom get 60-plus starts. I really am. But that's not the case here. Markstrom, on personal leave, take a week, take a month, take 7 months, family first. He's out. Demko comes in and gets the team 4 points. 4 points. Another big moment in the game, Michael Ferland, when the Canucks were down 1-0 in the second, he scored a bingo. His first bingo right in front of the net. It seemed to spark him just a bit Now, he wasn't one of the better Canuck players tonight, but he was more noticeable. For some reason, that happens. That happens to these big power forwards, right? Anything can really spark them, but they need that something to be big. They need it to be a big fight, a big hit, or a big goal. And they wake up just a little. And when they're in slumps, they're invisible. They're nowhere to be seen. Now, this game today, it was a little chippy. It felt like a playoff game. It really did. Every single goal seemed to be ugly. Nothing's good. Nothing is getting on the honor roll, okay? Nothing's getting into a top 10 of the night. No. It felt like a playoff game. Intense. And those are when you kind of need players like Ferland, right? I feel like the Benning bros would say that. I feel like they would. Big goal from Michael Ferland. Now, after the Canucks went down 3-1, the Blues just, they bit back right away. If you went to the washroom after Ferland tied it up and came back, let's say it was a 3-minute trip to the washroom, you had to take a shit, but you wanted to watch the game, so you made it quick, you'd still come back to a 3-1 hole. It was that quick. And then JT Miller makes it 3-2 just before the commercial break, right? The commercial break happens at that mark. I'm trying to get better at this whole hockey thing, okay? It's been a while since I've been back. I know that the commercials come at, 13-9-5. It was a little bit of a scrambly play. JT Miller scores again right in the slot off a rebound off a Tyler Mott shot. Tater Tot Mott, man. He was buzzing after the first. But JT Miller does it again, man. We spoke about the Benning bros earlier. They're happy about this. They really are. JT Miller has 4 goals. I believe he has around 6 or 7 points. And now you're seeing tweets, you're seeing little articles, little blog posts talking about how the trade was worth it. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not trading. If I'm the GM of a team that continues to finish at the bottom of the standings, I'm not trading my first round pick for a dude that has 13 goals. I'm not. I'm not taking that shot. I'm not taking that risk. Maybe my balls are smaller than Benning's. I don't know. At the time, I'm not doing it. And at the time, it was a bad trade. It's a first round pick for a 13 goal scorer on a team that needed to shed salary. They needed point. I'm still not making that trade. Anyways, the player looks good. Imagine this team without JT Miller. Exactly. Now in the third period, things got a little fun. There's 5-on-3s. Okay, the Canucks had one for 2 minutes. 2 damn minutes. And I do believe they killed one in the second as well. Shit was about to go off the rails. Once again, Demko, baby. Doing his thing. Anyways, in the third, the Canucks got a 2-minute power play. Went to commercial break. They came back. And supposedly, David Perron said something to the ref and got another 2. So it became a 5-on-3. What do you have to say for that to happen? I mean, they probably hear the F word. Why am I saying the F word? They probably hear fuck all the time. You fucking idiot. You fucking dumbass. What the fuck are you doing? And they get away with it. So what do you have to do to get your team in that hole? Like, what do you have to say? It's not even safe for this show. The power play looked bad, though. The 5-on-3 power play looked so bad. And Pettersson was on for the duration, and the penalty almost came to an end before Pettersson didn't drive to the net. The puck came up front and he made a dirty ass move around Binnington. He tried jamming it in and Horvat scored. Now before that play, they couldn't get the puck in. Everyone was trying to dangle. And you could see it. You could see that guys like Pettersson and guys like Besser, they're a bit frustrated. They're picking up points because that's what good players do. That's what good players do. Let's be real. Kobe had bad games. He's still putting up 25. Mahomes is going to have bad games. He's still going to throw for like 350. Good players find a way to get points. Pettersson, a lot of turnovers, a lot of frustration on the ice. But that fire, it's that will. That's the will that supplied that goal. It's the will that's drawing penalties. It's the will that's having... You can see Pettersson, the way he plays, he's doing anything for a victory. He even had those big shot blocks in overtime. Look, the frustration's there. He's still getting points. He's still showing that fire. And he's doing whatever it takes to win. A phenomenal player. Truly talented. You can't teach the fire, though. Good players find a way to get points. The thing with that, though, these good players like Pettersson and Besser, you think they like scoring rebound goals? No, they don't. They don't like scoring rebound goals. They don't like getting garbage points. They want to talk about going bar down, okay, baby? All right, they want to be at the club after or the bar and just be like, yo, you see that goal I scored today? Bar down. That's practice, baby. You see that pass? All sauce, baby. They don't want to talk about no damn rebound goal. Yeah, scoring goals, getting points, that's fun. A lot of fun. But it's still not the same as scoring a fucking beautiful goal. Something, like I said, that gets on the honor roll. A ton of ugly goals today. We'll take it. But we know that Pettersson hasn't been Pettersson yet. And the same thing with Brock. Same thing with Brock. Brock did look... He did look good in the first, getting some shots away. I compare him to Phil Kessel. So whenever he has scoring chances, multiple in a game, I think that's a good game. He show compete. The whole team show compete. Like I said, they came back from 3-1. Game went to a shootout after a couple shifts in overtime involving the three. You know, Hughes, Besser, and Pettersson. Didn't get much done. Game went to a shootout. Josh Lebo wins it. And he becomes your first star. There was a moment in that 5-on-3 where I think Josh Lebo was on. It wasn't even a moment. He was on for the duration as well. He played as long as Pettersson did on that 5-on-3. He's your first star. Give it to Demko. That's a disgrace. Change that, Sportsnet. What are you doing? You're trying to show off the game, show off the young talent. I know it's a hard game to pick a first star, but it's... Josh Lebo, really? Do better. Do better. Now, after the break, we're going to talk about the Calder Trophy from last year, the votes, who should have won. I'm going to bring it up again. The Blues commentators did. Darren Pang couldn't shut up about it. So we got to talk about it. But first, like always, before the commercial, I want you to learn more about Tim Schaller.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Tim Schaller used to play for the Rochester Americans. All right, we are back on Sippin' on a 40. Shout out to Nux Misconduct. Shout out to SB Nation. My name's Kyle Ballen. Go get the network. Once again, the Blues, they lost to your Canucks in a shootout. They blew a 3-1 lead in a tough game. A good road win for the Canucks. That's gutsy. Young team going down 3-1. Again, you kill a big 5-on-3 in the second. Demko looked good. Tanev looked good. Tanev's having fun again. He's good again. He's smiling. He's got a greasy smile, but he's smiling. The Canucks, gutsy win. Now, during that gutsy win, I was watching the Blues broadcast. Darren Pang, he brought up the Calder Trophy from last year. Pettersson versus Binnington. And it got me thinking. I mean, I don't know where this little ramble is going to go. It might piss off people, but it had me thinking. Okay, so Darren Pang, he brought up the following stat. Listen to it. Listen to it carefully. And then we'll have a little debate.
Look at the votes. 1,650 first place votes for Elias Pettersson. 1,072 as you combine the votes that they got, and that's what resulted in Pettersson finishing one and Binnington finishing two. I would suggest that Binnington's last 3 months were far more valuable than the last part of it on a non-playoff team for Pettersson. But of course, he did play more games, and I'm sure that came into play as well. And a couple of 5-point games for Pettersson. Yeah.
Okay. So he brought it up. And I had to look into the stats, okay? And I want to say something. I do think there's an argument here. I really do, for Binnington winning the Calder. All right, now put yourself in the Binnington fan club shoes if you want. Okay, just do it. Imagine if you had a rookie goal that came in, and fuck the age, okay? Imagine you had a rookie goalie who came in when your team was last and went 24-5-1 down the stretch. Now, I know playoffs don't matter, but that was some magic, okay? you could have put some of that into consideration. Regardless, 24-5-1 for your rookie goaltender down the stretch when your team is last is magical. And the NHL, okay? Now I know. I know he's, what, 6 years older than Pettersson? Still a rookie. Say what you want. It's in the rules. And imagine that guy lost to a player who put up 66 points in 76 games. That's why there's an argument. We're not talking about a Calder Trophy winner who had 90 points, who scored 40 goals over a point per game. We're talking about 66 points in 76 games against a rookie goaltender on a last place team going 24-5-1, leading them to the playoffs, and the rest is history. Now, Pang, at the end of it, he did mention how the games were different for the Blues down the stretch. They were more valuable. And I know it's not the most valuable rookie. It's the best rookie. Those games did kind of mean something. They meant more. 24-5-1 against 66 and 76. Pettersson, great year. Phenomenal. Incredible player. I've said it. Phenom. I've said he's the most complete player on this roster with Horvat on it. He does everything. He may go down as the best Canuck of all time. I would argue that he's already, what, in the top three on most exciting Canuck players of all time. He's that good. And he's got the fire. He's got everything you want in a number one center, in a leader, in your best player. But 24-5-1 against 66 points in 76 games, that is why there's an argument. Canuck fans, you know, I get it. We don't win a lot. No championships. You got to grab every trophy. But hey, man, I'm just saying. There's an argument to be made there. And it was, you know, I saw the voting. I don't get how that shit works. I saw numbers like 1,600 and 1,000. Fuck is that? Make the number smaller. I don't know how it really works. Is that a close bout? Maybe you guys think I'm overreacting. The Calder Trophy, Rookie of the Year, you can only win that once. There has to be some value on that. Why is this going so negative, man? The Canucks won, man. They beat the Blues. They beat Binnington. Pettersson made a dope move around Binnington. Horvat got that. He got that damn goal right in the crease because of Pettersson and what he did against the second place finalist of the Calder last year. Come on, man. Keep it positive. Hey, did you know that your Canucks, they got the number one PK in the league, yo? Oh, shit. No way. Is that your team? Yeah? Okay. Awesome. Yeah. All right. Let's do the read.
And further details of this continuing story.
All right. This is our version of the read. Sipping on a 40s version of it. We took the title from the podcast, The Read, by the Loudspeaker Network. Super entertaining, super educational, super provoking. Makes you think a lot. And I said entertaining, right? That shit's pure comedy. Listen to it. Our version, though, it reads from a book. 100 Things Canucks Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Written by Thomas Drance and Mike Halford. Now, I'll be honest. I didn't read this today. I'm just going to pull up to a random page. We've been kind of going all over the place with this. It's how you read this book. No chapters, just parts and things. And this thing is called the Miracle Run. It's thing 29. The 1982 Cup Finals run is remembered as an improbable event. A Cinderella run by a scrappy group of underdogs. Should we have been in the Stanley Cup Final? Then Canucks scout Mike Penny asked. Maybe not. We lucked out. We found a way to get there. Now on this segment, we only read a paragraph or two. I'm just going to stop at one. I want to get out of here. I got to get this episode out. This is an interesting book. It really paints such an obvious story about a team that's mediocre. The history is mediocre, and it does such a good job at making it easy to read yet sad. Every Canuck fan should get it though. You got to embrace who you are, right? The city of Vancouver, everyone should have a copy of this book. That's it, though. I'm done. I'm out of here. Thanks again for listening to sipping on a 40. Shout out to SB Nation. Shout out to Nux Misconduct. Now, this program, it comes at you after every, yes, every Canuck game. Wow. Fascinating. Magical. Have a good morning, a good afternoon, a good night. I do not know when you're listening to this, but peace. But peace. Just say peace.